Psychologists tell us that the happiest people on the planet are people who have this emotional and mental and spiritual capacity to call up often throughout their day how blessed they are. Just living your day, I want to ask you a question. How many times during the course of the busyness of your moments of your day, is there just a flash from your heart, or a flash from your emotions, or a flash from your spirit, or a flash from your mind? I am so blessed. I am so fortunate to know the Lord. You know, I said last week that I was reading where it said the richest man, the richest lady on the planet is not someone with the greatest wealth, but the person who can derive pleasure out of the simplest of things. And as you begin to say, you know what? I am living a blessed life because I have eyes to see how really blessed I am. That's when manifold blessing begins to pour into your life and you get healthier emotionally. You know, I understand there are some people that have problems with the way life has turned out for them. And look, life's not totally fair. But I want to caution you, do not fall into, I got the raw end of the deal in life. I want to caution you, don't give victim mentality a big piece of your thoughts, because what's going to motivate you and what's going to bless you and what's going to cause you to climb and grow and make a difference is not how unjust life has been to you, but how blessed you are and how fortunate you are and what an open heaven is over you that can cause you to move forward into your future. The greatest verse in the New Testament, one of them, on blessing is Ephesians 1 and 3. I really want you to major in this verse. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, I like the King James, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Now, look at me. I want to tell you what the Christian journey is all about. The Christian journey for the believer, the follower of Jesus, is a perpetual exploration into how blessed you are. I don't care how many blessings that you're already aware of. That verse says you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. I don't care how long you've been serving the Lord. There are multiple blessings yet to be discovered in your tomorrows. I'm going to say that again. I don't care how blessed where you are. I don't care how good God's been to you, because God hath or has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. For the rest of your life, there's new chapters of blessings that the Lord wants to bring to your awareness. I'm excited about my tomorrows. I'm excited about this week. I'm ready for this coming month, because you know what? I'm going to step into the grand adventure of blessing living. Hallelujah. I'm going to discover more blessings and more favor upon my life that I didn't even know last week, because they're all there and God wants me to know them. Give the Lord praise for that. Amen. He wants us to be blessed. Now, if you're going to have depth in the area of a blessed life, and we want you to, that's what this series is all about, then you must become an expert on the personal epicenter of the blessed life. His name is Abraham. Abraham understood the master statement of our entire series, which is simply this: the key understanding to being blessed in Christ Jesus is to live with a generous disposition. To live with a generous heart. We find that, we don't have the verse on the screen, but I pray it every morning. I hope you do too. It's 1 Chronicles 4:10, like the shotgun. Somebody say, like the shotgun. Now you know where it is, if you know what shotgun. It's 4:10, 1 Chronicles 4:10. The prayer of Jabez, This man said, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, that your hand would be upon me, and that as you bless me, you will enlarge my territory." This is what God wants you to do as a believer, a follower of Jesus. Posture yourself where the hand of the Lord can be favorably upon you, that your blessing awareness can grow, and your territory of sharing His blessings on your life can expand, 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 expand. That is the prayer of Jabez. And the life of blessing is not some cliche. It's not some superficial, shallow dimension that casual Christians throw around. It is the realm where God truly wants His mentally and spiritually and emotionally healthy children of God to live. If you live in America, and if I don't get an amen for anything else, I ought to get an amen for this. If you live in America, you are most certainly blessed, blessed, blessed. I'm going to stop and I'm going to do that. If you have been honored to live in America, just think of how many people trying to pour in here. You are blessed, blessed, blessed. Let's give the Lord a shout right now, okay? Praise the Lord. God bless America. God bless America. Now, I want you to become an expert on Abraham. I want you to become an expert on Abraham because he was the key man in Scripture who understood a blessed life. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, there's a direct connection between you and this man of blessing. Look what Galatians 3 and 29, it says, "If you are a follower of Jesus," and I am, many of you are. Most of the time I preach from a perspective, if you don't know the Lord, this is where we're journeying today. But this is really a message that talks about the posture of someone who knows Jesus and has faith and the blessings upon their life. If you are a follower of Jesus, look what the Scripture says, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs. You're an heir according to promise. If you're a follower of Jesus through faith, then if we could have a DNA test of the generic spiritual code of your spirit man, we could trace it back and tell you very clearly that there is a direct link between you and Abraham. If you are a follower of Jesus, whether you're aware of it or not, then there is a genetic trail. You are a direct descendant of the faith of Abraham, and the blessing and the favor and the health and the expansion of blessing to others through Abraham should be a part of your future. In fact, since you are the seed of Abraham, since you are an heir of promises that God made to Abraham, to you, with really, really great accuracy, I can forecast blessings that are coming your way through the Scripture. I really can. Because you are linked to Abraham, I can look at Abraham's life, I can study the blessings on him, and I can see, Alex, what's coming. I could almost prophesy over you right now. Because you are walking with the blessings of Abraham on your life as a young millennial for God's glory and God's praise, and you are so smart. I am so proud of you. You are one blessed man. You really are. So I want to show you. I want us to put some scriptures up here, and I want to show you some blessings of Abraham that are yours as children of promise. First of all, I want to go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 and 9, and I want us just to find some things that are yours. They were Abraham's, but they were yours. First of all, also Abraham believed God. How many believe the Lord is your Savior? Amen. So here you go. Now hang on to this. It was credited to him as righteousness. So as a child of Abraham, Abraham had a credit of blessing. I got two accountant daughters. A credit means you're on the positive side on most accounting situations. So already, you have a credit of blessing in your account. Now, you may not know what's there. It may be a spiritual blessing you haven't discovered yet. Do not live the rest of your Christian journey with all these credits of blessings on in your ledger ready to receive, and you don't explore what they are. I'm here to tell you, you have a credit of blessing. Go find out what they are. Let's keep looking at the word. We break down the word here. Not only did he have a credit of righteousness, but understand then, those who have faith are children of Abraham, and Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles through faith. And listen to this. This is very powerful. This is a blessing. And announce the gospel advanced to Abraham, all nations will be blessed by you. Not only did Abraham have a credit of blessing, he had an advancement of blessing. Wouldn't you love it if your employee came up and said, hey, I just want to give you an advance on some of your earnings. Some of your money, I'm going to give you an advance even before you earn it. I'm going to let you put it in a bank and draw some interest you can invest on. Hey, so not only do you have a credit, you have an advance of blessings given to you. Now, if you don't walk in it, if you don't study and find out what they are, then you're missing out on it. But then we go to Romans chapter 4. We've already found out we have a credit. We already found out that we have an advance. And did you notice in that previous verse where it said, God let Abraham know in advance what was about to take place? That is huge. Whenever you can see into the future, you're ahead of the game. If you could see what the stock market was going to do next week, there's no way you could keep from getting blessed unless you did nothing. Anyone that could know what the economy's going to do, where our culture's moving, what fads are coming, what technology is going to come in, what corporations are rising or falling, when you get an advanced knowledge of something, you are postured for favor. You're ahead of the pack. And ladies and gentlemen, as a prophet of God out here crying in the wilderness, can I tell you that this is an advance of what's coming to the planet? Can I tell you that someday this world is going to end up with the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he's going to establish his kingdom forever and ever and ever? And by knowing in advance that's what's coming to the planet, if you will live your life accordingly, you are going to be a blessed man and a blessed woman. It's not over. Let's keep studying Abraham a little bit. So, okay, I got a credit. I like that. I like the credit of blessing. I've got an advancement on blessings coming. And I know what's coming. The kingdom of God is coming. The lordship of Jesus is coming. Revival is coming. The throne room of all nations, the judgment seat of Christ is coming. I know all that in advance. Why wouldn't I be blessed? But now we go to Romans and we find even more blessing. It says, therefore the promise comes. The promise comes. Everybody say promise. So here's the word. The word's just rolling out at you. You got a guarantee? Right here, look at Scriptures. So that by grace, God's blessing will be guaranteed to you. Because you are children of Abraham. You are children of faith. I hope I have set the stage that you are saying, I'm one blessed person. I don't know all my blessings. I need to keep exploring my blessings, but I know this. I know I have a credit of blessing. I know I have an advancement of blessing. I have a promise of advancing. I have foresight of blessing, and I have a guarantee of blessing. Now, let me pause. If you want to live your life and live with this cliche, life's unfair and then you die, you can live that way. But there's another way to live. This is how the happiest people on the planet live. Things aren't great. Things aren't perfect. This is a fallen world. There is real trouble on the planet. But in the midst of it all, I am blessed, 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 blessed. I am blessed in my coming. I'm blessed in my going. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the country. Wherever I go, I'm blessed. And after I live this life of blessing, I'm going to have eternal life with Jesus Christ forever and ever. I live with a high blessing realm in my life. And I want to tell you, there's been two cities and I live. This is my third church to pastor and hadn't happened here in Atlanta yet, but it's going to happen. I had a pastorate in Birmingham, and in 8 years I was in Arkansas, and in both churches, I had ladies that came to our church, and this was their testimony. Danny Duvall was, they worked at Walmart or Winn-Dixie. I came to this church because you were the happiest person that I checked out. It hadn't happened in Atlanta. But someday, you're going to meet a new couple. You're going to meet a lady that works at Target or works at Walmart, works at Publix, and you're going to say, "We're so glad that you're here." And they're going to say, "Yes, I wanted to come visit this church because your pastor by far is one of the happiest person that comes through my checkout list. And may I tell you, it's because I'm not going to live with this mentality. Life's unfair. I'm from Arkansas. I didn't get all the privileges everybody else. I didn't get, no. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wake up every morning and say, there's a grand adventure ahead of me today. I am blessed with all spiritual blessing. Come on, God, show me what they are today. I'm ready for a new revelation of what you have for me." I want you to go to Genesis chapter 12 with me. And there's three blessings in Abraham's life here that I want us to explore because they are yours. They are absolutely yours as a follower of Jesus. So here we go. I want you to look at this verse. I want us all to read it together. There are three powerful blessings that I can predict, I can forecast, I can prophesy, are yours. Say, they're mine. A little bit louder. They're mine. If you will walk in faith after Jesus as an heir of Abraham. Let's read this together very boldly. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country." Verse number 3, we continue. "I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed." Now, let's stop right now. I'm talking to you. The blessings of Abraham are really a possibility for you if you will embrace them. And God says, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed because you will live in your blessing dimension. Now, here's the first blessing that was in this text. And as a great, 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 great granddaughter of Abraham, it's yours. And as a great, 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 great grandson of Abraham in faith, it's yours. Genesis 12 and 1 says this, that as an heir of Abraham, you will be blessed with a great place. A great place. And I want you to look at the language of Genesis 12:1 as we look at this. It says, Abraham, Genesis 12 and 1, I want you to leave the comfort of where you are right now, the Ur of Chaldea, and I want you to move to a place that I have for you. And I want you to notice some language at the end of that verse. It says, you don't know exactly where it is right now. You don't have a GPS that you've programmed to get you there, but as you walk in faith, I will show it to you. There is a place of blessing for you, and just like Abraham, you don't get to see it the first step of the journey, but I will show it to you as you love me, as you operate as a servant of the Lord. Look at Hebrews 11:8. It's even more clear about you don't get to see this place when you start. It says, by faith, Abraham was called where? He was called to a place. God is calling you to a place where you can bless others and where blessing can flow from the Father through you and back. And this this great avalanche of blessing is coming. And look what it says. It says, he wouldn't even know where this place was. But later, he would receive it as his own inheritance. And he obeyed the Lord, and he went. The Bible says this. As you walk in your blessing, God is going to bless you with a great place. There's something in the human heart. And you have this. I have it. There's something in the human psyche that longs for their own place. I dare say even our pets have a desire for their own place. I mean, my little grand dog, don't have any grandkids, but I got a grand dog. You know, it has its little place. It doesn't want to be over there. This is Phoebe's place. And then we love to have our own place. How many of you have your own chair? Raise your hand. I want you to just go ahead and raise your hand. That is your place. You go to work and you got your little cubby. You got your little place. You got your shop. You know where your tools are. Don't you get my tools. That's my place. I've done a lot of work with the homeless, and it's almost like working in the inner cities. I've even seen even the homeless. This is my corner. This is my place on the street. There's something about the human heart that says, I want a place. I need a place. I've got a place. One of the saddest things in the world is when we live our life and we go, there's just no place for me. How many of you are so thankful that you've found the church at Chapel Hill and here's a place where you can nurture your faith and grow in that? Go ahead and put your hands together. I am so thankful that there's a place here for me. Now, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but Gayla is gone for an entire month. Now, I don't want any rumors going that Gayla has left me. Help me out, Hadley. I mean, she is in Brussels, Belgium for a month visiting her sister at a seminary, and Gayla's planning a go trip for next fall where we can go Continental Theological Seminary of the Assemblies of God, and she's planning a trip where we can take some people there and we can work on their facilities. They want me to do a spiritual emphasis there for their students. Those kids are amazing. They pay high tuition to go to a school, and none of them really have dreams of ever having full-time employment as pastors in Europe. Socialism is so rampant in Europe that people are taxed 52 to 58% that it just squeezes the tithing base in the European church, that people who serve are not full-time because the tithe is not in the people's hands or hearts like it is in America. And so all the teachers are they're all American missionaries sent by the generosity of blessings of Abraham upon us. And Gayla's there, and we're going to go bless those students. How many believe that would be a good thing to bless the students? So she leaves the first day, and Hadley looks at me, and she says, Daddy, what are you going to do now that Gayla's gone? And I knew exactly what I was going to do. I don't know about you, at your house, but at the Duvalls, we live on our furniture. We live on it. I mean, Hadley's got this boyfriend. I'm trying to learn his name. And he can sit anywhere he wants to. We never talk. Keaton, you can't sit there. You got to move over here, son. And, you know, no, it's just our stuff. It's just stuff. Just sit anywhere you want to. But there's one chair. one chair. Now, Keaton's allowed to sit in it. He's Hadley's boyfriend. Pastor Danny is forbidden from sitting in this one chair. The chair is 28 years old. It's a rag, but it's white. And for 28 years, when I sit in that white chair with dark colored blue jeans, and the dye on my jeans goes to that white chair, my loving wife spends an afternoon scrubbing my jeans stain off that white chair. I am forbidden from sitting in that white chair. Every night before I go to bed, I heard that it helps your heart to eat a little dark chocolate. I take that to the max. And when I eat my little squares of dark chocolate, sometimes little crumbs will get on the furniture. So I am forbidden to sit on that old, raggedy, white, 28-year-old chair. So Gayla said, "Daddy, what are you going to do now that Mama is gone?" I said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my coffee, I'm going to get my blue jeans, and I'm getting my chocolate chips, and I'm sitting on the old rag right now. That's what I'm doing. I'm sitting on the white chair." Don't you tell her. And when Gayla comes back, I will get in my right place. But everybody wants a place. The saddest thing in the world is when you're looking for a spiritual home and you can't find a place. Why do you want a place? Well, there's something about having your own place where you're welcome. There's something about having your own place where you can make better, where you can defend it, where you feel appreciated, where you can make others feel welcome, where you can make it better. There's something about having your own place where you can give your gifts to it and your gifts bless others, or you can contribute to it. And God says, "This is what you have when you follow me. I will give you a great place." Ladies and gentlemen, God spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, and he said, "I want you to look at the stars, Abraham, because I'm going to bless you so much, your children are going to be like the stars in the heaven." And I don't know which star Abraham looked at when he looked to the dark sky, but he saw your star. And I don't know if you feel like it or not. I don't know if you feel like life's handed you a raw deal. But if you're a child of God, if Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, I want you to know you have star power. The blessings of the radiant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is reflecting off of you. And no matter where you go, what place you step into, Deuteronomy says, in your going in and your coming out, wherever you go, you will be blessed. Whatever place you walk into, if you go there serving the Lord, blessing comes to that location just because you walked in it and you're giving the glory and the praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But not only does he promise you a place, and I hope you feel like Chapel Hill's a place where you belong. Everything we do is to make you welcome and to make you say your gifts are so valuable. You are comfortable. We want you to be comfortable here. We want you to thrive here. We want you to make this place better. We need you to make this place better. And as you bring the blessing of the place to this house, and I bring the blessing of the place to the house, and we all bring the blessing upon us that whatever place we go to is blessed of the Lord, we build a great ministry for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Atlanta is blessed because we have found our place. So not only will you be blessed with a great place, you will be blessed with a great name. your name, Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, will become great. Look at this. I will make you a great nation, and your name will become great. What is a great name? A name is what's attached to you. And young people, guard your good name. If you want a blessed life, protect the feeling that people have when your name is mentioned. Proverbs 22 says, a great name is far better than wealth. A great name to be esteemed is more valuable than gold and silver. And when you walk in a place and people mention your name and people say, oh, that's a good man, or that's a good woman, blessing has been brought into that place. And blessing has brought into your life. You know, what is a name? A name is your way of maneuvering through life. This is how Tiffany's maneuvered through life. This is how Bowl has done life. And your name is so powerful. And the Bible says that God is free more than us to name his own self. God has named him, God named himself many times. And if you want a powerful name of blessing, then the closer you can bring your name to the name of the Lord, the stronger your name is. Aren't you thankful that sometimes we bring reproach on our name and we sin and we hurt our credibility, but the blood of Jesus is so strong that we can be forgiven and the good name of our lives can be restored by the grace and the praise of the Lord? Notice what the Lord called him. God said, I'm going to name myself. My name is the God Shalom. I'm the God of peace. And when your personality is tied to the peace that comes through the Lord, as his name is great, your name is enhanced. I am Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And when you walk into a difficult conference meeting and all that conflict is taking place and you go in and you're a voice of healing, and you're a personality of restoration, your name is blessed because your name is like the name of the Lord. You are a healing person. You are a uniting person. I am the God of victory, God calls himself. When you walk into a room and you say, we can do this, Jehovah Nisi, God, I am the God of victory. I am the God of banners. I am the God of winning. And when you walk in and you say, listen, this is hard, but we can get it done, and you link your name with the God who is the God of victory, all of a sudden, man, people want you at their table because you're a can-do individual and your name has blessing connect. You just go through all the names of God. I am the God of righteousness. And when you fall and come short, but you run back to the cross and you apologize and you ask God to forgive you and you bow your shoulders and you don't let yesterday's failures to handcuff you from moving into tomorrow's opportunities, and the name of righteousness is all over you, people will look at you and say, that is a blessed man or a blessed lady, because they may fall seven times, but buddy, life can't get them down. They keep getting up and up and up because your name is connected with the righteousness of the King of Kings and the Holy of Holies. Praise God. You'll be blessed with a good place, a great place. Wherever you go, we'll be blessed because you're there. You'll be blessed with a great name. People will be blessed just by getting to know you. And finally, you will be blessed with a great legacy. A great legacy. Look what this verse says. Genesis 12 and 3. It says, I will bless those who bless you. I want you to think about this for a moment. And whoever stands against you, they got problems. This is the most incredible realm of blessing. Listen to what I'm about to say. When you understand bringing the places you go to as locations set apart unto the Lord. My home is my place that I honor the Lord. My church, my city, this is God's place. He's placed me in it. And this is a blessed place because He is my God and I am His child. And you add a good name. The right place to the right name creates legacy blessing. Now this is legacy blessing. Legacy blessing is when people bless you, respect you, and there's so much blessing going out from you, from God, that they have blessing come upon them just for liking you, just for being near you, just for agreeing with your approach to life, your kingdom life, your faith life. You don't have to be in your 70s or 80s to have legacy blessing. You can walk in legacy blessing, and men at your work are blessed because they see your blessed life. And as they start modeling and start thinking about how you live, and all of a sudden they start copying you a little bit, or they start considering living for the Lord a little bit, and all of a sudden this thing starts turning on them, and they start getting the blessing that you've been living in. That is legacy blessing. Here's the greatest thing, is when you live a blessed life, and the blessing of God is all over you like Abraham, that your children start wanting to honor the Lord as you've honored the Lord. And your grandchildren. There's no doubt about it. When I came to pastor 16 months ago, I had enormous respect for the legacy saints of this church. Saints that had been here with Calvary. Enormous, enormous respect, and I still do this day. And I humbled by just getting to know them. I was going to make sure that Bobby and I were prayer partners. Al was going to be my buddy. Richard, so many legacy saints. Because you know what I knew? I knew those people walked in blessing for decades so that we could have a place like this to worship Jesus Christ until the coming of the Lord. Put your hands together and thank God for that. They have walked, they made this ground special. Would you agree with me that Atlanta, Georgia needs more churches filled with the Holy Spirit like this one? Come on, do you believe that? Atlanta, Georgia needs more places where people are singing, "This is how I fight my battles." Atlanta, Georgia needs more spots across this great city where people can raise their hand or repent of a sin or meet a new Christian friend or put their kids in a great class and they learn Bible stories. Those kind of places are so needed all over our great city and our nation. How does it come? Because of legacy blessing on people. They'll say, "I'm going to take what my name means, and I'm going to take the places where I go and I'm going to add them. And I'm going to integrate them to the glory of God. And I'm going to live in such a way that people who affirm the way I've walked in faith, they'll be blessed themselves." I live in legacy blessing. And listen to what I'm about to tell you as I close. It's amazing to me that a family can be broken in sin and poverty, and within one generation, the blessings of God can come and totally rewrite the story of that family. Somebody give praise right now. I'm talking about one generation. Everything can come. My grandfather was raised in the mountains of Arkansas, the Ozarks. Even though he lived on the side of a mountain, and many of you would call him a hillbilly, he was dignified. He was the son of Abraham. As a young man, the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, and married my grandmother and had three kids. And on Saturdays, this is what my grandfather Tackett did in the Ozarks of Arkansas. He would kiss my grandmother goodbye, my mom and aunt and my uncle, all of them who went into the ministry. And he'd get on a mule and he would ride into the Ozarks and he'd preach to people up in the hills who had no church. Then on Sunday afternoon, he would come home in the snow and the blizzards. We have stories in our family legacy where a blizzard came and he couldn't see in front of him. And he just threw the reins of the old mule down and said, God, I have no idea where I am in the mountains. And the Lord led the mule right into his pasture hours later in the storm. I have legacy blessing. My dad was not raised in a Christian home. That was my mother's dad. He was raised as a drunkard, but my dad was so poverty-stricken that when my mom wanted to know where he lived, he wouldn't tell mom where he lived because it was such a broken-down rental. Besides that, daddy didn't know where he was going to live next month. But someone invited him to church as a little boy, and he walked down the aisle like they're doing in Kids Planet right now, and he received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and the curse of alcoholism and poverty was broken as he ran after the blessings of Abraham upon his life. Somebody praise God. In one generation, he turned it around in one generation, and I wasn't raised that way. I was raised like many of you, raising your kids with Bible stories and prayer and the blessings of God on me were so strong as a young man, I never said yes to the call of God to preach. I never had a time where I said, God, I'll obey you and preach instead of doing something else. I was just so blessed people started inviting me to speak. I was just speaking before everyone. And I remember as a young man coming from college in Arkansas, I told Douglasville this other night, I was coming from college. And in Arkansas, there's not as much traffic as here. And a car would be coming down Highway 22. And as a 20-year-old young man, I would see that pickup truck or that car. And I just began to pray for that person's soul as they would come. And when they would pass, I'd wait for the next truck or car. And I'd pray for their soul. Kind of like my grandpa did on his mule. Kind of like my daddy did. This church in Yale County, Arkansas. Legacy blessing. It's when people get blessed by loving what you love. It's the greatest blessing. We moved from Alabama to Arkansas when Hadley was a ninth grader. Uprooted her from her school. She was the president's student council, and I took her to school as a ninth grader. And I was thinking as I drove her to school, what have I done to my daughter? I've pulled her out of all of her friends. Life was going good, and now she's in the second largest high school in Arkansas, and she doesn't have one friend. So as we pulled up, I looked at her, and I said, Hadley, don't forget how you served the Lord in Birmingham. It's my favorite Hadley moment. I said, he did you well, and she looked at me. With not a friend, one friend. She had one friend. And she gave me thumbs up. And said, Daddy, it's okay. I'm fine. I'm good. And I go, whew. She gets out of the car as a ninth grader. She takes two steps toward the junior high campus and comes back to me and opens the door. And with the blessing of Grandpa Tackett on her, with the blessing of her dad upon her, with the blessing of my dad, her grandfather, Don Duval, on her, she sticks her head in the car and said, Dad, I'm going to be okay. Don't you know the only reason we're here is for souls? We're only here for souls. She closed the door and went to her school for the first day. And I sat behind the steering wheel and I said, thanks be to God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. For in my family, we had come to discover legacy, blessings. To God be the glory. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You're here right now. You say, Pastor Danny, I'm missing out on a blessed life like I need to because I'm not following in faith Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins. And life's pretty good, and I'm not mad at the world, and I don't feel like I'm a victim, but I know there's a realm of blessing that I am not tapping that I can. And if I'll follow Jesus in faith for the forgiveness of my sin, I believe that that blessing can come upon me. If you're here right now and there's compromise and sin and failure and you need forgiveness of your sin, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand toward heaven at the count of three, and we're going to see the power of the blessing of the blood of Jesus totally remove your failure. In humility, raise your hand at the count of three. One, two, three. Raise your hand right now. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hands are going up. Blessings are coming. Hands are going up. Blessings are coming down. Some more hands. Go ahead. Hands are going up. Blessings are coming down. Praise God. Now I want everyone to pray this simple prayer. Everyone pray this prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to follow Jesus. I could never cleanse myself of sin, but to believe in the power of the cross, I choose to follow Jesus. I'm a Christ follower. I am forgiven. Restore my good name. Give me a place to serve you. And let me live in legacy blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you so much.